We begin a brand new message series that we're calling Choices. And I'll give you a little bit of background about where the message series came from. We recognize that it's not unusual for us to explain to many of you on a frequent basis that God has a plan for your life. And we talk about that and we hear that. And I would believe that probably a few of you at the very least would wonder, is that really true? Is God there and am I here and He just lets us do what we want to do and at the end it just all gets measured out? And I really hope that you understand that the Bible is very specific that God has a plan for your life. And again, we've said that many, many times. But in saying that, we recognize that we don't always go into great detail about what we do in order to remain in His plan. What things do we do to use as opportunities to follow Him and to submit to Him? And what things do we need to surrender to Him in order to know that we're in His will or His plan for our lives? So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about six different resources that God gives us that we can surrender to Him so that He can be glorified through our lives in order for us to be in His perfect will. This morning, we're going to talk about the topic of time. Now, when I think of time, I think of perpetual motion. Time is always moving forward. It never stands still, and it never goes backwards. And successful people value time greatly. Busy people try to make everything that they can do fit into the quantifiers of time that we use in the society that we live in today. And there's always a need for more. People are constantly saying, if I just had more time, things would be better. I remember a time last year when I was running out of time in order to get to a party on time. And as I was leaving the church, I realized that before I went to this Fusion Party get-together that happened to be a white elephant party, I needed to stop and get a gift to take to the party. And so as fate would have it, I found myself pulling out on Wade Green Road and getting behind a car that decided on that day that they would go slightly below the speed limit and kind of enjoy the scenery as they went. Now, I think it's true in Georgia like it is in other states. The left-hand lane is reserved for passing. But on this particular day, I could not get around this car. And I felt the frustration growing in me, and I realized that I was getting a little bit tense because the slower that car went in front of me, the more late I realized that I was going to be. We found ourselves together behind a stoplight, one of those stoplights around here that lasts for about 5 minutes, as you know, and then you get about, for some reason, 30 seconds to get through it before it changes again. And for those of you that live here, you'll understand that. For those of you that are listening to this online, you have no idea what the stoplights in this area are like because it's not like that in any other place that I've ever been. But you got to get through quick. Well, the car in front of me, after the light turned green, I'm ready to go. It's like a race for me. It's like turns green, go. You know, you hit it, you punch it. The car in front of me had decided that they weren't going to do that. Again, they were going to leisurely go. And it was at that moment that I just have to admit to you today that I felt like there was something that I needed to do. Something I had to react in some way or I was going to continue to be frustrated. So here's what I decided to do. I decided that I would just very graciously just tap the horn. You know, just touch it. Not a long, you know, menacing honk, but just a beep. Yeah, just beep. You can move. Go ahead. Beep. And so that's what I did. I just beep, you know, and it wasn't too bad. I was kind of glad it, you know, didn't last long. And the people in front of me looked at me through their rearview mirror. I could see enough of their face that they smiled and they waved. And then they proceeded to continue to go well beyond, below the speed limit. And as fate would have it again, we were going to the exact same store. And so as I'm following them, you know, I decided at that point, I'm not going to ignore this problem. In fact, I was going to park close enough to them, and I was frustrated enough that I was going to give them the look. You know, the look, it's a scowl, kind of, and it's, so I've got my eyes ready, because I'm going to give them the look when I go by. And as I walk by, they're getting out of that car. True story, they both got out of the car, and they said, "Hey, Pastor Rick, we thought it was you. We are so glad you were here at Wildwood with us." Yeah. Now, the reason that I tell you that story this morning is because in many ways I am both ashamed and embarrassed. We're doing a series right now with our children in Awana on Wednesday nights, And we show this video, and there are usually two people involved, and one is called bright, and the other is brainless. And so the children are to tell which one's bright and which one's brainless in that situation. In the illustration that I used for you this morning, I was the brainless one because I was foolish in allowing my hurriedness and my frustration to get the best of me. And the people who I was behind, they were the bright ones because despite my rudeness, they were incredibly gracious and kind to me, kind of heaping coals on my head as I got out of that car, getting ready to not be as gracious as I should be as their pastor. Again, we get caught up in the hurriedness of this life. And if I wanted to defend myself today, this is what I would tell you, and I'm not doing that, but if I did want to, I would say, I was in a hurry. I had to get there. I wanted to be on time, and I forgot about the gift, and I had to stop. And the problem with that excuse is that God does not wish for us ever to act out of character. We should not allow frustration and lack of planning on our part to create an emergency situation where God then allows us to act differently when we're feeling pressure or under tension. So the question I have for you this morning is, have you ever experienced a time like that? Have you ever been in a major hurry? Because many of us are always trying to accomplish more than what we believe we have time to do. And it can be a dizzying pace of hurry, hurry, hurry. And then we know in the back of our minds we're supposed to find time to be alone with the Lord and to study God's Word and to pray. And how in the world are we supposed to fit all of those things in one compartment called a day? I'll tell you a funny story. I have read two books recently by Christian authors, and they are penned by pastors who both talk about the need for more time. And they're kind of jokingly saying this, that the solution may be that we add one more hour to our day. Instead of 24 hours a day, we do 25 hours because the 24/7 isn't working. And then they go on to suggest, but better yet, instead of adding 1 hour per day, what if God would allow us to have an 8-day week instead of a 7-day week? And some would prefer that the 8th day be another day of the weekend and an extension. That'd be nice if you're going to add a day. But 8 days and 25 hours a day, if you do the math with me now, that would mean that we would have 32 extra hours every week to get all of the important things that we want to get done. The 25-8. It'd work out great, wouldn't it? Well, before we all bow our heads and ask God to give us 25 hours and 8 days a week, may I suggest to you today that the problem may not be the too little amount of time that we have. In fact, the problem probably is the way that we spend the time that we already have. And if God were to grant us more time, if we're not stewarding and using the time that He has given us now well, that would only perpetuate the problem. In the Bible, it speaks of a way that we can follow God's plan and God's timing. And there are many passages that speak of the importance of letting the Lord lead our lives, which literally means surrendering our time to Him. And I'm going to share with you this morning a passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Feel free to turn there in your Bibles if you have them this morning. If you don't, we'll have it on the screen for you. Because Paul is addressing the situation of what is the best way to use our time. And this is exactly what he says. Ephesians 5, again, verses 15 through 17. Paul starts out by saying, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Father, I'm going to ask you right now, through your Holy Spirit, to guide and direct our hearts and our minds to hear you today. And I pray, Lord, that the message that they hear will evoke a change in order for us to bring you greater glory. God, I'm thankful for the time that you give us, and I pray that we value it in such a way that we give it back to you. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is suggesting in those verses that we carefully choose to spend our time wisely. And he tells us that we need to make the most out of every opportunity because we live in an evil time. Paul recognizes that we live in a world that is lost and corrupt. And every moment counts in seeking the Lord's direction because the world is moving in the opposite direction of the Lord. Paul tells us to manage our time wisely as it passes by quickly. A quote that I heard when I was in business went this way. Time management assumes that you will soon have nothing left to manage. You are here on this earth for a designated amount of time. The Bible tells us that God has ordered your days. There's a plan and a reason that you exist. And God has ordered your days in such a way that you can bring Him great glory through every day that He has given you. So I think it's important to acknowledge that we need to manage our time well. Some of you in the business field will recognize that phrase, time management. So let's define that this morning. Time management is the act or process of exercising conscious control and direction concerning the amount of time spent on specific activities in order to increase efficiency or productivity. Time management may be aided by a range of skills or tools or techniques used to manage time when accomplishing specific goals. Initially, the phrase time management was incorporated into business. It was a way of making sure that we were productive and efficient through our work day. But now it has moved over to the secular realm, and many of us live by calendars, and some of you even have your calendars up on your refrigerators where you're deciding what you're supposed to do on any given night based upon the calendar that you've got with a magnet set at that refrigerator. In fact, without that, you would be lost, wouldn't you? Many of us live by time management strategies today in our everyday life. Understand this, that time management is a necessity in planning a mission because it determines the time and the scope in order to complete a mission successfully. God has given each one of us a mission to accomplish in our lives. Therefore, He's made available everything that you need in order to successfully complete that mission. Therefore, I want to dispel one of the great myths about time, and that's our first point in our outline this morning. We have plenty of time to do everything that God wants you to do. You have plenty of time to do every single thing that God has planned for you to do. Here's the problem, and here's why some of us feel frustration day by day. It's because we're trying to implement the things that we want along with the things that we think God may want. Or we choose to just do the things that we want and ignore the things that God wants us to do. And that's not surrendering time to the Lord. Because the Bible clearly tells us that God has equipped you with everything that you need to accomplish everything that He has planned for you in your life, including having enough time with which to do it in. So there is no need to panic. 2 Peter 1:3 says it this way. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So we don't need more time if we have been given everything that we need to accomplish God's plan. But we may need to use that time that we've been given differently. After all, every one of us get to freely choose how we use our time. And we all believe that we're using it in the way that is most important. We feel the pulls and the tugs of this world, and we sometimes go in the direction that the world takes us rather than in the direction that the Lord is leading us. After all, we have a choice. And so how we're going to use our time is often dependent upon the voice that we hear that speaks the loudest to us. In fact, I will tell you this. In most cases, that voice is our own. It's not the Lord. And most of the time, this is point number two, we do the things we want to do. I just want you to think about this for a moment, because it's not unusual for us to say, I wish I could do something else. I wish I had time to do these other things that the church is talking about, or that this Bible study presents opportunity for, or, you know, maybe helping someone next door or helping out this situation. I wish I had more time for that, but my life right now does not allow for that. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that you do exactly, most of the time, what is most important to you. You determine that, whether you're cognizant of that or not. In fact, most of the time, you're doing what's most important because you've chosen to. So the next time you get ready to stay or find yourself thinking, well, I just really don't have time for that, I want you to stop and realize that you have time for anything that you choose to have time for. And the reason that you're not doing it is either that you don't place a high priority in it, according to what else you have planned for that day, anything else, or you've already dedicated your time to do something else, and you have not left in your planning some flexibility to be sensitive to the way that the Lord is leading. The classic example, I think, that we find of this is in the Bible, and it involves two sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, Mary and Martha are at odds about how they should be spending their time. One is wishing that she had more time and more help. And the other is valuing the time that she's been given to spend with someone who is there. And one of the problems that we have here is, who's right? So let's read together from Luke chapter 10. We'll look specifically at verses 38 through 40. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now think about this scenario for a moment. Even though they're at Martha's house, both of these sisters are presented with the exact same opportunity. Jesus, the Son of God, has come to their home. What would you do if you knew Jesus was coming over to your house? Well, you would probably immediately start picking up a little bit, and you'd do some dusting, and you'd probably want to run the vacuum, and you'd probably want to rush out and get some groceries for the visitors that were coming, and you would want to be prepared for that arrival. But understand that according to the story, there wasn't time for that. Jesus just stopped by as he came through this town. Understand this also. Everything that Jesus does has a purpose. So here are the constants. Both women highly value Jesus. Both have the same amount of time to be with him. And both want to do the right thing with their time. But they disagree on how that time should be spent. Mary wants to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him and simply be in his presence. But her sister chooses to work. Some think that Mary is being a slacker. How dare she let her sister do all the work at such an important time as this? But she's not being lazy by ignoring her sister's request for help. She simply doesn't want to miss one word that the Savior of the world has to say at that moment. So her full attention is paid to him. Martha, on the other hand, is caught up by the distractions of that moment. She wants to make a good impression by having everything in order, and she feels obligated to make everything perfect for Jesus in that moment. But in doing so, she's missing a chance to hear the important words that Jesus is sharing in that moment. Martha is task-driven, and she's preoccupied with her work, busy being busy, all while the ruler of the universe was sitting and teaching in her living room. The things that she was trying to do weren't bad things. They just weren't what was most important. She missed what mattered most. And that's exactly what we learn from that story. Point number three, we should do what matters most with our time. Have you ever missed a mattered most moment? It's not unusual that we miss a mattermost moment when we are tired and fatigued because of the things that we are doing throughout our day that don't matter most. Sometimes we don't have the energy to seize that moment. Sometimes we're distracted by what we are focused on at that moment. So we miss a matters most moment because we want to complete the project that we're on so we can check it off and say that it's finished and then move it to the side. Sometimes we just aren't flexible enough in seeing what matters most. And sometimes we miss a matters most moment because we simply don't care enough about evaluating every moment regarding what would matter most. Martha believes what she must do is get the good china out, get ready for all the guests that will be following Jesus, make sure that there's plenty of candles for all the light, and all those things will leave a good impression on how good of a hostess that she is. The problem is her goals demand her immediate attention and all of her time. They aren't bad goals. They just aren't what matters most. Listen closely to this. When something small consumes all of our attention, we often miss something bigger and better that presents itself, which would provide an opportunity or a better, more valuable way to spend our time. And truthfully speaking, the Mary and Martha illustration applies to every one of us. We all must constantly be evaluating how we can spend our time best. And most of us are convinced that the way that we currently are living is absolutely the only way that we can live. And yet, God may be leading us to live in a different way. Our culture has brainwashed us to believe that success and importance is based upon staying busy. Most people seem to live that way, and most people look at those who aren't busy as being lazy and unproductive, like Mary thought about Martha. The right way to consider how we should spend our time and find our proper pace in this life is found in the Bible. That's where we find out the biblical time management principles that we need to apply to our everyday lives. So let's just take a moment now and pull from the Bible four very important biblical time management principles that we can learn by and live by following this message. The first one is, commit your days to the Lord. And we all know that, don't we? Commit your days to the Lord. The Bible says that several times. And most of us know that that's what we're supposed to do. And so the obvious question this morning is, are you doing it? Have you committed your days to the Lord? Because along with our lives, that means surrendering your time to the Lord. We need to surrender our plans to His. After all, He has already determined the amount of time that you will have on this earth. Proverbs 19:21 makes good sense. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. If we think that our plans are not in union with God's plans, we need to submit to His plans first and foremost. Here's why. His plans will prevail. What He wants to happen will happen, either with us or without us. So why not follow His plan management, time management plan? In fact, those are the things that will always prevail. I love what the psalmist says in Psalms 37, 5 and 6. He tells us, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. I love the thought of shining and living for the cause of Christ. I love that thought. And one of the best ways to do this is to ask the Lord to lead you as you wake up every morning and offer your life to Him every day. I'll tell you about a time in my life that I'm not really, again, proud of, and I'm not saying this boastfully in any way, but there was a time in my life when I was moving from secular work to full-time ministry. And during that particular time, we were incredibly busy as a family. In fact, during this time that I was seeking the Lord and felt led to move into full-time ministry, we owned and operated five different businesses at that time, small businesses. And many of you have heard this story before. Well, during that time, I also taught two Bible classes in the Christian school. I taught 11th and 12th grade Bible. I also coached a high school basketball team at that time, and Jim Spivey can relate to the time that it takes to do something like that. And so we're running five businesses. I'm teaching two classes, which, by the way, for those of you who are teachers, you know what that means. That's two classes of homework that you're grading every evening, or almost every evening. And then on top of that, I'm coaching a basketball team and participating in the games. And then above and beyond that, I am being trained by our church to become a pastor and taking classes. Now, I'll be honest with you, there was no way that all of that was going to work. But there was also no clear direction of how God was going to make that work in my life. And I had always learned in business that I would follow the protocol of taking A through Z. You take your life as it comes. You make sure you do A and then B and then C, and you keep things in order and you're diligent about it, and eventually you'll find yourself at Z. The problem with that is that was my plan. That was the business plan. That was the way that I was brought into work, and that's the way that I led my life as well. But God required me at this time to be flexible and to be sensitive to what He told me on a daily basis was most important with all of those other things that I had scheduled in my day. So this is what I ended up having to do. Every morning when I woke up, before my feet hit the floor, I committed myself to the Lord. And I did this for years. And what I would say would be something like this. I would pray to Him, God, these are Your hands. Take them and do Your work so that they bring You great glory. Lord, these are Your legs. Will You move them in the direction that You would have them to go? May they always follow You. Father, these are Your eyes. I pray that when people look at them, they see my soul and they see You. And may they see the things that You're showing me throughout this day. Father, these are Your ears. I pray that they're sensitive to the leading of Your Holy Spirit as I desire Your will, not mine. And God, this is Your heart. Will You take it and mold it and shape it to be exactly what You want it to be so that when people see me, they see You. May You be glorified by the using of this heart. And I would do that every morning. And quite frankly, I'm going to tell you, I did that as a weakness, not as a strength. Because there was no way I could make that jumbled package fit on a 24-hour calendar day. I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull it off. And I won't say that everything that we did during that time was successful, but I will tell you that throughout that time, God led me. And God orchestrated it in such a way that our businesses slowly went away. Ministry slowly came to the forefront. The season that I had in my life of coaching basketball ended. Teaching Bible is now preaching Bible. And we've had an opportunity to simply sit back and watch the Lord lead as we became more and more willing to surrender our lives to Him. And that's what I'm suggesting to you this morning. You see, that leads us to our second biblical time management principle this morning. Plan and consider how you spend time carefully. And I would suggest that the way that you do that is to pray as you plan. Just offer it all to the Lord. Say, God, I don't want to put this on this calendar unless this is something You're leading me to do. And I know that that may sound hypersensitive. Here's the problem. If you don't do that, when you place that on the calendar, you will probably do it. And if you make a commitment to do it, that means that there may be something else that you can't do. And that may be the exact time that the Lord wants to use you to do something great. Remember the words that Paul shared when we read earlier from the book of Ephesians. He said, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most out of every opportunity because the days are evil. I ask the Lord to plan my days, even today. Still live by a calendar. Still set the appointments that people call and say, can I meet you at such and such a time? I try to do that. But let me tell you what I do now. I pray that God uses that time as a means of reflecting His glory during those times. And I also ask Him to give me wisdom that if there's something I'm supposed to do that's more important, that He would give me the wisdom to do the thing that He wants me to do rather than the thing that I've scheduled. I believe that we have to spend our time submitting to God on a regular basis. We should seek the Lord's direction when planning our days because He knows whether it is wise to move forward or whether it is wise to wait. When we feel pushed to make a quick decision, we need to stop and ask God to confirm that decision and His will for us. He has a plan that He will reveal to us on a need-to-know basis. The timing may not be right because there is something better for us just ahead. And we can lay any situation before the Lord and ask Him to lead so that we do not step out of His perfect will and plan for our lives. My goal today is to daily do the things that God is leading me to do so that His plan is accomplished in my life. And you see, there's a perfect time to do everything. And only God knows that perfect time. So that's our third point today. There is a right time for everything. Solomon is known as one of the most wise people to have ever lived. And he tells us in Ecclesiastes that there's a time to live and there's a time to die. And in chapter 3, verse 1, he tells us that everything else fits right in the middle, and there's a perfect time for that too. Look at Ecclesiastes 3:1. There's a time for everything, and a reason for what? Every activity under heaven. Asking God to lead us as we follow Him daily allows Him an opportunity to do the incredible things that He wants to do because His will and timing is perfect, and ours isn't. Do you worry sometimes that God may be running a little bit late in your life? Do you wonder where He is when you are so desperately sure that you need Him right here and right now to answer your prayer because there's no moving forward, that there's no chance of you getting through another moment unless He answers your prayer right at this moment? In fact, do you ever find yourself saying, God, I've watched You work in other people's lives in a great way. Why are You not working in such a great way in my life right now? I want you to remember this morning. God is never late. In fact, God is always right on time. And He will never leave you and He will never forsake you, nor will He lead you in the wrong direction. He responds according to His schedule and not ours. And usually we want God to hurry up because that's the way that we lead our lives. When we don't hear or see a response, we wonder if God's listening, or is God hearing us, or is there maybe something wrong in our life that we need to put aside so that we do the right thing. And there's nothing wrong with ever examining your life and pursuing God's will. But it's the times that we say, I can't wait any longer. If He knows the situation that I'm in right now, He needs to ask, what is He doing? I'll tell you what He's doing. He's waiting for the perfect time to respond. And when He responds, it's the perfect time, 100% of the time. Until that time, He wants you to remain where you are, prepared to move forward, but sensitive to His perfect timing. In fact, He always acts in a perfectly holy way, and His schedule is always based on His priorities and His timing. But when God tells us to move forward, then you've got to be ready to move. He may not tell us exactly what we want to hear, but He's always right. And when He says to move forward, then we've got to be willing because it's the perfect time to move. We tend to be procrastinators when God tells us to do something other than what we want to do. And we seem to lollygag and we say, you know what? I need the confirmation of this. I need to know that this is the Lord's direction. If He wants me to do this, He's going to make it clear to me in the next few days. And that's my fourth biblical time management principle for you this morning. The Bible tells us, don't plan to do tomorrow what you should do today. Because if you're submitting yourself to God and you are seeking His will for your life, then there will be times when we can sense the Lord instructing us to move forward. And when He does, we need to pull up our tent pegs, pack up our bags, and follow Him, just as Abraham did. There may be some uneasiness or some uncertainty, and yet we sense that the Lord is leading us to trust Him as we move forward. And the truth is, when God is in control of all of our life, all we need to be concerned about is what He wants us to do. If that involves moving forward, then we move forward. If it means waiting for the right time, then we wait for His perfect time. You see, as humans, you and I cannot fully grasp the depth of what He knows. In fact, James 4:14 says it this way, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life?
You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Life is short, and time flies by, and we do not know when our last day on this earth will be, nor do we know what decisions that we will make that will contribute to being our last day. And some people wonder when they're supposed to act and when they're supposed to wait, when they're supposed to listen and when they're supposed to move. And there are four very important reasons that I will share with you in conclusion today that tells us exactly why we should always trust God. But if you're in that quandary right now, and you're asking the question, why God's way? Let me give you four very good reasons that most of us already know. Number one, God is all-knowing. Sometimes we forget that God not only knows the future, but God has planned the future. Folks, leave today knowing that God owns the future, and He knows what lies ahead, and His plan is based on His glory being revealed by His people. Being a child of God means that our Heavenly Father knows what lies ahead, and He is willing to guide His children through all the challenges so that you end up on the right side at the right time. And He will get the job done, because God is all-powerful. God can do anything that He chooses to do. This is His world, and He can do anything that He wants to do. And He has the authority and the power to make it happen. And His promises are always kept. And His perfect way and His perfect timing is always best. And that means that if you are not for Him, then you're against Him. And I can't imagine why anyone would want to go against an all-powerful God, especially knowing that God always knows what's best. Which leads us to our third point. God is all-wise. I'm going to share something with you that may sound a little drastic, but being able to realize that God's wisdom is vast is about as deep as you and I can go. There are some incredibly intelligent people sitting in this worship center this morning. And by the standard measurement of IQ, they'll range very, very high. And I admire those people, and I try to use the giftedness that God's given them to bring Him greater glory. But can I tell you all something this morning? God is more wise than all of us. The depths of God's knowledge cannot be fathomed by man. We can't even begin to understand the things that God understands. And because He is all wise, He is willing to lead us in a direction that will bring Him the greatest glory. What an incredible revelation for some of you this morning. That all you have to do is surrender your life and your time to Him, and He will lead you to bring Him glory. And one day, you'll be rewarded for that submission. This morning, I want you to know that I am not a fan of just being good. Good is better than being bad. But we serve a God who is great. And so it's my heart's desire to tell you to follow His leading so that when He is great through you, others will be led to Him. And remember this, He leads you because He cares. That's our fourth and final point this morning. God is all-loving. God is so loving that His love and care for you is not based on anything that you do or say. He loves you unconditionally, regardless of what you've done in the past or the present or the future. His love for you will not change. That's because He is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not and cannot change His mind because He is faithful and steady, and He has perfect love that will never fail you. And as we think about God's ways and how He works in our lives, we must also consider the way that He schedules things to happen so that what's most important will fit in our terrifically hectic schedules. I brought this morning an illustration, and many of you will recognize these figurines as being Mr. Potato Heads. And for the benefit of those that aren't visually seeing this sermon but hearing it online or on CD, I have here a giant Mr. Potato Head. And for years, I've been playing with this toy. My daughter got it, and we played Mr. Potato Head together with her, and now my granddaughter, when she visits, I get to play it with her, and we played it this week several times. And I've learned something with giant Mr. Potato Head and all of his little friends here. We've got five different Mr. Potato Heads here, and that is that getting all of these pieces back in Mr. Potato Head is not always an easy thing to do. In fact, sometimes it's very difficult, and I've been asked about that. They said, well, you know, all you do is stuff it in here, and you can make it all work. And if you did it that way, if you just put all the pieces while they are intact in there, I will tell you from experience, it will not all fit. There's no way you can get all of these Mr. Potato Heads inside of this big Mr. Potato Head. There's only one way that you can do it. And this may sound a little look peculiar to you, but I've discovered the best way to do it. And so I take these Potato Heads, and I take them apart. All the pieces should, and really, quite frankly, must come off in order for all of these Potato Heads to fit in there. So I take the Potato Heads apart, taking the hands and the eyes and the mouth and the feet and the hats off, and I place them inside Mr. Potato Head, confidently knowing through experience that it will all fit. And again, understand that I've done this dozens and dozens of times. In fact, I would consider myself to be a resident expert on placing Mr. Potato Heads back in the giant head. So this is a way that you, quite frankly, have to do it to make it work. And any other way would not work out well. I mean, there's ways that you can manipulate it, but this is probably the very best way that I've discovered. Now, after you have that in, you take all of these pieces and you pour it in there. And just so you know, and you are not beat out by the first service, there was a resounding round of applause about this all fitting at the end. So for the purposes of the CD and the tape that we're making, you need to respond in a very gracious way. There we go, and all of... Is he not in? Good. There you go. He's all in there. Okay. Now, honestly, it fits perfectly, and parts of these pieces are actually touching the hat when it goes in here. Now, some of you say, okay, what's the point of the illustration? And some of you are thinking, I get it. There's always room for a little bit more in my time as long as we just kind of squeeze it in there. That's not the point of the illustration. Something that you may or may not have noticed is that in order to get all of these pieces fit inside of this giant Mr. Potato Head, you must put the big pieces in first. You actually have to put the potatoes in before the pieces. If you don't do that, it will not fit. And you'll miss getting some of the big pieces inside of the big potato head. What's the point? The point is this. The big pieces represent the important parts of your life that you always must fit into your time. And so things like seeking the Lord and being led by His Spirit and praying and studying His Word will not fit if you let all the smaller things in life consume all of your time. There will not be enough time left at the end of the day to do those things. And the two most important big pieces that you must fit into your day, every single day, is to love God and love others. That's why you're here. And if you spend your time leaving either of those two big pieces out, you've not been successful in your day. I want you to know that if you follow the Lord's will, He will guide you. And we often forget who God really is. In fact, the prophet Isaiah was preaching to a group of people who had fallen away from him. And they were not obeying him. And they were actually, quite frankly, living in sin. And Isaiah didn't get it. He didn't understand why they would not submit and surrender their time daily to the Lord. So I share with you in closing what the prophet Isaiah shared with the people of Israel. He said this in Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Are you tired today? Is your calendar and your schedule getting the best of you? Submit and surrender your time to Him, and you will not grow weary, and you will not be faint. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you right now for the opportunity that you give us to hear from you and to understand that your word guides us and how you would like for us to submit our time to you. And I'm going to ask, God, that as we close this service this morning, that you will speak very clearly to every individual regarding the struggle that we have with our schedules and our time. Lord, you've aligned things perfectly. So all we have to do, God, is follow you. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. God, we do not have to come up with a plan. You've got the plan. So I pray that this morning we understand that all we must do is seek your will and follow your path. And God, you will be glorified through our life. And I pray, Lord, that we'll not only do that, but we'll do that in a way that brings you the greatest glory. And we ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, I want to afford an opportunity for you to recognize that this is the perfect time for you. Here's what I mean. You're probably surrounded by people that believe that everyone in this worship center has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Many of you have prayed a prayer. Many of you have walked down this aisle. Many of you have been baptized. Can I say something that's fairly bold to you this morning? If you've not surrendered your time to the Lord, what makes you believe that you surrendered your life to Him? Romans 10:9 that tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Here's the challenge with that. You can't do one without the other. So when you say a prayer and you don't act out in faith through the evidence of what you believe, then the question remains, have you really trusted? Do you really believe? Only God knows that for sure. I'm so thankful that God has not placed me on this earth to judge that. And I'm not doing that with you today. But I am saying this. Maybe this morning you recognize that you have not surrendered your time to Him. And in turn, maybe you haven't surrendered your life. And if you want to do that today, it would be perfect timing as the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, today's your day. Today's the day that you give yourself fully to me. And we had some who did that in the first service, and I'm going to trust that some will need to do that now. So if you'll bow your head and close your eyes with me. This morning, if you just want to say, God, I do. I want to surrender my life fully to you today, and I want to trust in you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come forward or do anything that would be uncomfortable for you. If you and the Lord, if you would like to do that now, just raise your hand. Say, yes, today's my day. I want to surrender my life fully to Him. I'm just going to look around this room very slowly. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed if you don't mind so no one's embarrassed. Just raise your hand. I want to surrender my life fully to Him. Thank you. Put that hand. Thank you. Here's what I want you to do. See that hand up there also. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, God, I trust you. And I believe you sent your Son to die on the cross for my sins. And today, I invite you to be not just my Savior, but my Lord. Will you guide me? Will you direct me? And will you give me the courage and the wisdom to follow you? Today, I invite you into my life in Jesus' name. If you've done that for the first time, we would love to know that. If you could let me know or one of the pastors here, that would be great because we've got some information that we can follow up with. If you'll stand with me now as we close, let me give you a second opportunity. By not raising your hand this morning to that question, I believe that you're acknowledging that you have fully surrendered your life and your time to Him. And that's what we're called to do. And if it's not working well for you today, if you're still in the struggle, this may be a time of ministry for you where you can just bow to your knees and say, Lord, I want to do this, and I can't do it without you. I need your strength. And again, first service, we had several come forward and just bow before Him and say, God, I need your help on this. I want to give my time to you. I want to release my calendar to you. I want to be sensitive to your will. But work and home and life and sports and recreation and all these other things jumbled up. I don't know how to do that. Will you guide me? And I just pray that you'll use this time to be sincere with the Lord. Let all the distractions outside be gone. We're not in a hurry. I'm pretty sure we're going to meet the Methodists to the restaurant this morning, hopefully, depending on how long this takes. But take your time and listen to the Lord now and be sensitive as He guides you. Don't leave without doing this, because God knows your heart. He knows your sensitivity. So let's take a moment now. You be sensitive to that or any other issue that you're facing. And if you would like Pastor Terry or Darren or any of the deacons or myself to pray with you, we are here for you right now. Let's use this as the time that the Lord ministers to His people. Father, You do Your work in the hearts and the lives of people who love You and who are called according to Your purpose. May we submit to You faithfully now as You minister to us. In Jesus' name.